Okay. Ooh, that was great. Randy Sabine, always great. And we've got someone here that I think you'll find very interesting. She teaches at Northland College, and she's the assistant professor of environmental history. They do amazing things at Northland. It is maybe one of the leading environmental, sustainable universities, colleges in the country, I would say. Would you welcome, please, Erica Hanniker, ladies and gentlemen. Hanniker, pardon me. Erica Hanniker. Hanniker. Can I do that? How are you?
Hi, Michael. I'm great. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Now, you're originally from where?
I am originally from Northern California.
Yeah.
Sacramento Valley area.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it much of a transition to Ashland?
It was. Well, I became Midwesternized because I did my PhD at the University of Iowa in Iowa City.
So that's 1 foot in.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then I learned what real winter is when I moved to northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but is there something more than a certain je ne sais quoi?
About the Midwestern lifestyle?
Yes, especially
I would
northern
say so.
Wisconsin. Yes.
Oh, I would say so.
Yes.
Not having to wait.
What was most shocking to you in terms of, you know, the sociology of it?
Well, most shocking was dancing with a two-year-old bear cub on 6th Street in Ashland the third day I was in town.
Oh, yeah? They don't have that out where you're from?
Santa Cruz
or wherever you're from?
No, you know, and I spent a lot of time at Donner Summit in California as well and did not dance with two-year-old bear cubs. I was coming back from the Black Cat holding my coffee cup and my scone, and a little, you know, black bear cub just comes galloping out and rears back and says,
"They probably wouldn't
let's
serve
dance.
Them. They wouldn't serve him.
No, no.
Well, I'm surprised that's unusual. We take that sort of thing for granted here. They're worse when they've been drinking, though, I'll tell you that.
They are.
After two, you don't want to dance with them.
They are. No. Speaking of drinking.
Yes.
I brought you a little something.
You did?
Northland College doesn't have wine glasses, but like any good self-respecting liberal arts
Beautiful.
Institution, we do have, you know, pint glasses. So
pint glasses.
That's something for you.
Northland, I knew there was something I liked about Northland. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Guys are always going through my bag looking for stuff, tchotchkes and things. You know what I like about Northland? One of the things I like about it, in the banner, you go to their webpage and stuff, and sustainability is right in the with the logo.
It is.
And explain, you know, for those of us who've never really thought about sustainability long or hard, but it's a very important mission. Really.
It is. And I think what's unique about Northland is that that mission has been with us for so long. We're not Johnny-come-latelys on the sustainability bandwagon. We have been the environmental liberal arts college since the 70s.
Mm-hmm. That's Sigurd Olson.
We've got the Sigurd Olson Institute.
Yes.
You know, so many wonderful initiatives and kind of hands-on tools that we've been teaching people for a very long time. You know, my part of that, since I've been there for about 6 years now, has really been in adding to the curriculum. We've redone our curriculum to include essentially sort of coordinated, sustainable undergraduate, sort of lower level undergraduate courses. So a student can come in and say, yeah, I'm interested in sustainable agriculture, or I'm interested in the Lake Superior watershed. And they can essentially take classes for their entire lower level career before they choose their major on one specific topic. And I think that's where sustainability is perhaps going, is this more coordinated effort to look at particular problems in the world from multiple perspectives. And so the way professors kind of coordinate this is to, say, pull a history professor and a literature professor and a chemistry and biology professor together, and we all teach the curriculum on sustainable agriculture. So I do a sustainable, you know, agricultural history. We've got pastoral literature. We have the chemistry of food. And so that's the sort of philosophy behind that, is that none of the world's problems are going to be able to be fixed from one particular perspective anymore. We've got to have a sort of holistic view into that.
Is that with an H or a W?
With an H or a W?
Holistic.
Oh, holistic H.
Yeah. H, okay.
H, yeah.
Let's take one short step back. Sustainability. What exactly is sustainability?
What is sustainability? Yeah. Sustainability is about planning for tomorrow, expecting and wanting there to be a tomorrow that is just as rich and progressive and lively as today.
Yeah.
And so sustainability is about trying to make that work also within our own contemporary historical moment, which is a very capitalist one, which is a very kind of resource-heavy one.
Now, but definitionally,
yeah,
sustainability, the act of sustaining.
Yeah.
And we're sustaining
life on the planet.
Life on the planet. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, okay. That's a good start, anyhow. Okay. But there, I mean, sustainable agriculture, for example, how does that work?
Yeah. So intensive industrial capitalist agriculture is incredibly, incredibly resource heavy and will honestly not be able to progress and produce the way it has for much, much longer now. And so sustainable agriculture is also, again, that word, that sort of holistic idea of bringing together and thinking about inputs and outputs at the same time and trying to sort of reuse or repurpose some of those things to kind of go back. And
but so you plant your corn in a couple of seasons, then you plant your beans.
Right.
So is that sustainable?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, to the beans
or
sort of
more than that.
Fulfill the soil to, yeah. It is a kind of, it's a way of thinking about the world, I think, and problems within the world that from more than just one perspective, again, that it's not just environmental, it's not just economic, but perhaps it's also social, perhaps it's also creative and artistic to sort of try and live a whole life.
Yeah. And so does this apply then to individual lifestyles as well, sustainability?
Well, it certainly does on the Northland campus.
Yeah.
I think we've certainly got the highest percentage of...
Is that like Birkenstocks and...
Hippies in the world.
Not using plastic.
You know,
bottles.
At Northland, it's not even Birkenstocks. Yeah. I get students that sort of test each other by saying, let's go all winter by wearing no shoes at all.
Yeah.
And from California,
do they get
this
credit
does not
for that?
Make sense. No, not from me. They get ridicule from me.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And the job market now, what was your major? Sustainability is my major.
Well, we don't have a sustainability major. We have lots of other wonderful interdisciplinary majors.
But what sort of major would you be called, for example?
Well, there's the humanity and nature studies major. That's all right.
Yeah, sustainable flowers.
There's sustainable community development major.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at that one, for example.
Yeah.
What does that do?
That is basically entailed through the sociology and social justice department, but you also take classes in business. I believe you also take classes in statistics. So you're getting, again, a kind of a complete education and thinking about sustainability and social justice from multiple different angles at the same time.
So then when you graduate,
you can become a community organizer.
Community organizer.
You could become all sorts of wonderful things, a leader in your community in various ways.
Okay, that's interesting. Because my daughter is in something called the School of Human Ecology at UW. And I, so far, no one has given me an answer. Is actually what human ecology is. Human ecology, human home economics. You know, and then they started calling it human ecology or something like that. So, and then she's graduating now, and she says, okay, now what? You know, well, look for a job for a human ecology job. Simple as that. You know, so some is a little confusing in terms of looking. Then where do you go with it? You know.
Yeah, I think within majors within these ideas. Thank you.
Don't move.
Flies.
Don't move.
Another one of the guiding ideas behind it is actually that when you learn interdisciplinarily, your education stays with you longer. Because if you're thinking about one topic and all the various pieces that go into that, that's a very different thought process than taking a discrete mathematics course or memorizing a bunch of dates in history or thinking about art and producing one piece of art. instead, if you're tying all of those things together, you can sort of hold on to that, that our brains are built better that way, to sort of hold on to all of that knowledge in that more encompassing way.
And I get the feeling a lot of your classes are not classroom classes, but you're out in the field doing things.
We are.
And what are you doing out there?
This is one of the most fun things, I think, about Northland and a Northland education, is that a huge percentage of our classes, and really most classes during our May term, we have a four-week May term, are in some way hands-on and or outside. So for my typical class that I teach in May term, I teach a material culture class, and that is learning about history through physical objects, because historians have sort of long been aware that written texts can very easily lie. But when you look back at hard material objects and then compare them to what was written in the time, you get a much deeper, richer kind of sense of what that history was really about, and why would people be spinning history or their tales about themselves in one particular way rather than another.
What object? Are we talking about latrine diving? Or that? I know they find a lot of interesting things.
Not in my class. Local cemeteries and interpret tombstones and the layout of cemeteries. Mm. We go to the Ashland Historical Society. We go to various small malls to talk about suburbanization and sort of the life within that. But there are many other classes on campus that are literally outdoors all the time. There is a Lake Superior Circumnavigation course in May that you can take. There is a...
What do you have to do for that? What's the requirements?
You have to camp. You have to read really wonderful things. You get to... I'm sure you have to have a passport because they have to, travel into Canada and back.
How are you circumnavigating?
By van and by canoe, I believe. It's water and land, getting around
cool.
the lake. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of other... fisheries courses and birding courses and things that are outside as well.
I know. In addition, you have written a book on grapes.
Yeah.
Vineyards.
Yeah.
And do you find any of that up here in Wisconsin? You're probably not a big vineyard culture.
There is a kind of boom going on in local wine for the last 10 years. There's not a whole lot of wine growing right here, but in southern Wisconsin there definitely is at this time. And with my students, actually, in my sustainable agriculture course, we've rehabbed a very small vineyard, not for wine, just for the grapes, at the ARC site, which is 2 miles west of campus. Mm-hmm. There's so much delicious local food things going on here that kind of connect with my research, but also make my research much more tangible and physical.
Yeah, and I noticed the word capitalism came up a couple of times.
Sure.
In your discussion, are we anti-capitalist in our orientation? Okay if you are.
The best rumor.
I don't think Walker is listening right now, so.
Let's hope not.
Probably not.
Let's hope not. Yes. The best. I'll just say. The best rumor that has ever gone around about me on Northland College campus, which is actually not true at all, but I still love it nonetheless, was that I stood up in class and declared myself a Marxist feminist.
Marxist feminist.
And stomped my foot.
Which part of that isn't true?
Both of it. The declaration isn't true. I should say that.
Yeah. Oh, you never did it.
I should say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I never declared it.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Were the Marxists more sustainable than the average capitalist? I mean, they both...
God, probably not.
Probably not, really.
Probably not.
Yeah. But we're sort of in a post-capitalist system right now.
Yeah.
It's not really the same capitalist system that began everything.
No, but quite scary nonetheless.
Okay. Can't be afraid of these things. You got to face them head on. You know that. In general, environmentalism, is the school sort of based on Sigurd Olson's contribution.
Vision.
And what exactly was that that he had?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that the entire school is based on it. It's kind of its own wing.
But he taught there, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And his vision, you know, Sigurd Olsen is kind of a lovely person close to a lot of environmental historians' hearts, because he's not one of the absolute heroes of the canon. He's a more quiet sort of writer. And about locations like northern Wisconsin that don't really get canonized in environmental history the way we think of it in kind of, you know, broad frame things. Yeah. Like
what was Ken Burns'
national parks idea.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. What was his thing? I mean, in a sentence, but his vision. But preserving wilderness or getting into wilderness as much as anything. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Getting out of civilization.
That's exactly right. Yeah, experiencing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to get out in the wilderness, you have to preserve the wilderness.
Right.
Kind of works that way. Hit boundary waters and all that stuff with it.
Right.
Well, your book coming out is called The Empire.
Empire of Vines,
Wine culture in America.
That's right.
It's coming out, University of Pennsylvania Press.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Thanks so much.
And shout out to Northland, one of the great schools in this whole area.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Professor Erica Hanekel from Northland College, ladies and gentlemen. And her favorite things to do in Ashland, I have here, is community gardening, schmelting, ramping, schmelting. Well, in Milwaukee, it's schmelting. Ramping, moose, bear, and deer sighting, orchid growing, seed starting, cocktail inventing, and yoga. So she's diverse. She's diverse. Okay, then, there.
I think we got time for a short one, I think.
A short one?
Yeah. I was told we need to be.
Can we drink it? Oh, you mean a song?
Oh, yeah, song.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Take a short one.